Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this beautiful Jummah morning, this Friday morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the remaining days of Sha'ban, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us alive and grant us the divine inspiration that we can take maximum benefit of the beautiful month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Ameen. Being a Friday morning, every Friday morning between the hours of 9 and 10, we have the Sahaba Focus. In this program, Maulana Muhammad Aku, who's our guest on this program, takes a look at the life of various Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and we try and focus on those Sahaba that are not very well known. This morning, Maulana is speaking of a very great Sahabi. Well, all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were all great people, they were all the guiding stars, and we should be taking lessons from their lives, we should be reading about their lives, learning about their lives, and making an effort to try and emulate and copy their lives, the wonderful zeal and encouragement with which they had served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the desire which they had to fulfill the messages of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to take the deen of Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the furthest corner of the world. Today, Maulana speaks on a very great Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Mas'ud. Hazrat Urwa bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi radiyallahu ta'ala, and this is a Sahabi who initially was one of the leaders of the people of Taif. What sacrifices he had made, what the journey he had into Islam, accepting Islam, and then it's very beautiful to hear, once he had accepted Islam, what an amazing effort he made to propagate Islam to his fellow tribes, to his people, how they had treacherously they had killed him, but his life was given for the sake of Islam, for Islam to spread, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his sacrifice, his life was given, but how people had come into the fold of Islam. Let us listen attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for his mubarak deen, and may Allah ta'ala enable us to learn the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and emulate them. We would be discussing a great Sahabi. Every Sahabi is great. His journey to Islam was a lengthy one, and there's so many lessons behind it, and how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give up on any individual. His name was Urwa bin Mas'ud. Urwa bin Mas'ud bin Mu'attab bin Malik bin Ka'ab bin Amr. Urwa means firm footing, stronghold. Quran speaks of deen being, and Quran being al-urwatul wuthqa, the strong footing, the stronghold, the strongest hold and footing. His father's name was Mas'ud, his mother's name was Subay'ah binti Abdi Shams bin Abdi Manaf al-Qurashiyah. She was from the Quraysh tribe. He was a relative of Mughira bin Shu'bah. But to understand his life, we have to start from the beginning. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making effort in Makkah. Allah's Nabi then continued inviting the people year in and year out to Allah, tirelessly, continuously, selflessly, going person to person, calling them, working on the tribes, working on the people, begging Allah for their hidayah, constantly. The Arab tribes would come for Hajj. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meet them, would call them to Allah, to such an extent that even the Meccans used to worry that these tribes that are coming into Makkah are going to be met by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are going to be influenced, they're going to take effect from Islam. We have to stop them somehow or the other from even listening to him. Even that measures they undertook. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt bad that how they're turning him down, they're turning him away. He went to the next town. He took Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu with him, his sati. Zayd radiallahu anhu was his freed slave, and he treated Zayd like his son to such an extent that at one stage he adopted Zayd, until Allah Ta'ala abolished that law, meaning this matter of changing an individual's name is not allowed in Islam. Yes, you can treat someone like your brother, you treat, you know, an orphan like your child, but you can't change the child's name. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Zayd with him. And also the wisdom behind taking Zayd was also camouflaging the situation, because the Meccans were now hurting him. immensely. He would generally make the guest, move around, calling to Allah with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sometimes with Umar Ali radiallahu anhu, and with other Sahaba as well, mainly with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a master of the lineage of the Qurayshi tribes. On this occasion, he was leaving Makkah, and he didn't want the Meccans to notice. So, he's going with his son somewhere, Zayd. They didn't expect what he was doing. He was going to Ta'if. Ta'if was a town next to Makkah, and it is known to be one of the biggest towns in Arabia after Makkah. It was like the holiday resort of the Meccans. Makkah was very, very hot and more desert ground. And obviously Makkah's nobility was always, it was preserved and revered and sanctified because of the blessings of the Kaaba Sharif being there. But the Meccans, who were the rulers of Makkah, all used to come to Taif. And in Taif is where they used to have their resort, their relaxation, their recreation. They had farms there, because Taif is a very fertile land with a lot of vineyards, a lot of, farms. So they would always come here. And sometimes when they wanted to enjoy themselves also, they used to come to Taif. So it was known to be a land of a lot of opulence at that time. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on his way there. He undertakes this journey of approximately 60 miles, walking on foot. Obviously a sacrifice, him and Zayd, reaching Taif. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first goes to meet the leaders. He invites them to Allah. The leaders were namely Abdu Yalil, Mas'ud and Habib. They were the sons of Amr bin Umair Thaqafi. Three leaders, Abdu Yalil, Mas'ud, Habib. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to meet them, because if you've got the leaders supporting you, then that will have a greater impact on the masses. So Allah's Nabi invites them to Allah and to help and assist the deen of Allah. They gave him very, very disrespectful response. The one actually said, I will tear the clothing of the Kaaba if Allah had to send you. The other said, أَمَا وَجَدَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكْ. Isn't there anybody else besides you for Allah to send? The third said, I don't want to talk. I won't even speak to you. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there 10 days, calling the different people to Allah, inviting them to Allah. He went to every leader, every noble. Every noble was met. Among them, Urwa. He was among the leaders of Taif, the senior people of Taif. He was so senior, my respected listeners, that under the verse of the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا. In this verse of the Quran, Allah says, Allah quotes what they had said, the Meccans. What did they say? Why wasn't this Quran revealed to another man, a great man, رجلٍ عظيمٍ? Why wasn't this Quran given to a great man, رجلٍ عظيمٍ, from the two mighty towns, من القريتين, from the two major towns? They were referring to Makkah and Taif. These were the towns of seniority there. Why wasn't another man given the Quran? Why was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the Quran? Who were the Meccans referring to? Mufassirin say they were referring to Urwa bin Mas'ud. They were actually challenging and saying, why wasn't Urwa given the Quran? Why was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the Quran? And some of them felt, why wasn't Walid bin Mughira given the Quran? Why wasn't Walid bin Mughira given the Quran? Why was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says, are they distributing Allah's mercy? Are they distributing Allah's decision? Allah says, I am the decider. I distribute their livelihood and I distribute everything. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But just to show that this was a man of seniority as well. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to every senior. Now these people in Taif were very, very upset. So they turned the hooligans and the riffraffs and the gangsters of the region against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Zayd radiallahu anhu, and they started pelting and they started stoning and they started chasing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was alone, him and Zayd were alone on the streets, and he was being blasted with boulders and rocks and vulgarity to such an extent that blood was flowing from his body. His sandals, اختبَبَ نَعْلَاهُ بِالدِّمَاء, his sandals were soaked in blood. Zayd bin Haritha was trying to the best of his ability to protect Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a boulder or a rock would come, Zayd would try and protect, and the rocks would hit both of them. Both were injured badly, and they didn't leave them until the Messenger of Allah ran 3 miles out of Taif. Then they left him. May Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a farm or a garden. Hayat is a garden that has a wall around it, 3 miles out of Taif, and he took a rest and some shelter there. Now they left him. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat under the shade, and he was sitting there. Over there is where he made this dua. Allahumma ilayka ashku da'afa quwwati wa qillata haylati wa hawani 'ala an-nas ya arhamar rahimin. أنت رب المستضعفين وأنت ربي إلى من تكلني إلى بعيد يتجهمني أم إلى عدو ملكته أمري إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي ولكن عافيتك هي أوسع لي أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات وصلح عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة من أن تنزل بي غضبك أو يحل علي سخطك لك العتبى حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. Oh my Allah, to you alone do I complain. إليك. To you alone do I complain. ضعف قوتي of my weakness. ضعف قوتي of my weaknesses. Allah, I complain to you of my weaknesses, my infirmity. وَقِلَّةَ حِيلَتِي, my inadequate strategy and method, my lack of planning. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ, my submission before the people, my humility before the people. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. You are the Lord of the weak, and you are my Rabb. My Rabb, Rabb is the being who controls every fiber of one's being. Allah, you are the controller, you are my Rabb. وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي. Oh my Allah, to whom have you consigned me? To whom have you left me? To someone far off who ill-treats me? To an enemy who you have given control over my affair? All that I am prepared to accept, as long as you must never be upset with me. إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. O my Allah, no matter what condition comes upon me, I don't mind that, but you must be happy with me. And Allah, if you make it easy for me, If you remove the difficulty, that will make it easy for me. But no matter what the condition, I am happy with you, my Allah. I don't want you to be upset, my Allah. I seek protection from the nur of your countenance, through which all the darknesses become light, and all affairs in the world and the next become solved. Through that countenance, Allah, I ask you that never ever send upon me your anger, your wrath. Oh Allah, I repeatedly turn to you so much, again and again, until you become happy, because I have no strength, nor any power, except through you, my Allah. Allah's Nabi made this dua. And in this interim, Allah Ta'ala sends Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to offer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if he wants, all these people will be destroyed. The mountain ranges around Taif and Makkah would crush all the people. What an offer, my respected listener. After he was tortured, after he was disgraced, after he was belittled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given such an offer. Jibreel alayhi salam comes with the angel in charge of the mountain ranges. An utqa alayhim al-akhshabayn. Al-akhshab means lofty mountains, meaning the mountains of Makkah, Abu Qubays on the one side, and Qa'iqi'an on the other side. That surrounding Makkah and Taif, he was given an offer. The Makkah people will be destroyed. The Taif people will be destroyed. One instruction from you, my Nabi. Allah's Nabi says, my hope, my wish is Allah must bring from them, if it's not decreed for them, if they don't want, if they don't have the talab, at least from their offspring, those who will worship Allah alone, who will not displease Allah in the least, who will not ascribe partners unto Allah in the least. Yea, respected listeners, This is selflessness. This is when one only wants to please Allah. This is the greatest quality. Allah's Nabi sacrificed himself, his honor, his life for mankind's hidayat. I want to return to this few moments, but while they were in the garden, the two sons of Rabi'ah, Utbah and Shaybah, they were brothers. They were senior people in Makkah. They were one of the leaders of Makkah from the senior tribes. But they had farms in Taif. They happened to be there. And they saw the condition of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They called one of their servants, Ghulam al-Nasrani, and he was a Christian slave of theirs. His name was Adas. Adas, take this bunch of grapes. Give it to this. They were hostile towards Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they felt pity. Said, look how much this man has gone through. Adas comes, puts the platter before the messenger of Allah. Allah's Nabi extends his hand to the platter and says, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. He partakes of that grape. Adas says, sir, what you're saying, I haven't heard in this region here. Allah's Nabi says, where are you from? Layyil biladi anta. What is your religion? Wama deenuk. He said, I'm a Christian from Ninawa. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay. Min qariyati al-rajul al-salih Yunus ibn Matta. You're from the town of the pious man. You're from the town of the pious man, Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, my brother. So he says, how you know who's Yunus ibn Matta? Allah's Nabi said, that is my brother, Laka Akhi. He was Allah's Nabi. I am Allah's Nabi. Adas started kissing the head of the Mubarak, head of Rasulullah, the hands of Rasulullah, the feet of Rasulullah. He's just kissing the messenger of Allah. Utbah and Shaybah are saying to each other, look now, this man corrupted your slave now. Adas came there. Adas accepted Islam. It's reported in history, Adas accepted Islam. They say to Adas, what is the matter with you? He says, my master, there's no one on this earth greater than that man. He told me something that only a Nabi can know. They tell him, Adas, hey, be careful, Adas, your religion is better. Don't forsake your deen. One lesson we can learn from here, my respected listeners, is that Allah's Nabi's every action, Allah's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's every action was a means of hidayat of the ummah. He was injured, he was tired, a man comes to him, that man gets hidayat. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whatever we do, we must be a means of showing mankind truth. We must be a means of bringing mankind to hidayat. We must be a means of connecting mankind to Allah. Wherever we go, we should be kind, we should have akhlaq, we should have character. Our deeds, our actions must be a means of connecting people in the, channeling people in the correct path. And at Qarnul Manazil, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this offer of destroying all the people, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned it down. There's an amazing report in Bukhari Sharif. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَيْكَ يَوْمٌ كَانَ أَشَدَّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ يَوْمِ أُحُدٍ. O my Nabi, Uhud was so difficult. Obviously she's asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question much later. At this time she was not yet married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a question she's posing to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam much later in his life after Uhud. O my Nabi, was there a day that you have experienced more difficult upon your heart, more difficult upon you than Uhud? Allah's Nabi said, yes. What pain I went through on the day of Aqaba. Aqaba refers to Taif. إِذْ عَرَضْتُ نَفْسِي عَلَى ابْنِ عَبْدِ يَعْلِيلِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ كُلَالِ. When I offered myself to the leaders of Taif, and the way they disgraced me. فَانْطَلَقْتُ وَأَنَا مَهْمُومٌ. I was grieved. I was so hurt. And Allah sent His angel to me to offer me that I could destroy all these people. O Aisha, that day when I presented myself to them, it was more difficult for me. If we ponder over this hadith, my respected listener, we learn from here what a great sacrifice it is to give your honor for Allah's deen. To present one's honor for the deen of Allah is a great sacrifice. In Uhud, there was a lot of physical sacrifice. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Many were injured. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was injured. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed Mubarak head was fractured. Blood emanated from his body there as well. The links of the helmet gorged into the blessed cheeks of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My respected listeners, my respected elders, Allah's Nabi said, when I presented myself to those rulers and they disgraced me, that was more painful. So we learn from here that giving one's honor for Allah is a great sacrifice. Is a great sacrifice. Anyway, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was returning. On his way, Allah mentions to him, this comes in Surah Ahqaf, about a group of another nation of Allah's creation accepting Islam. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَىٰ طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا به يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويجركم من عذاب أليم. And in the other verse Allah says, قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر. Allah says, when we brought to you, صرفنا إليك, O my Nabi, remember when we brought to your direction a group of jinn, they listened to the Quran attentively. When they heard the Quran, they said to each other, keep quiet. And they heard the entire recitation. What recitation? Janabi Rasulullah was performing salah in one of the wilderness there on his journey of Taif as he was returning. As soon as the jinn heard the verses of the Quran, immediately after that, they went back home warning their people, calling their people to Allah. They said, Ya Qawmana, O our people, we have heard a book revealed after Musa alayhi salam. So this statement of theirs shows that they were believers in Musa alayhi salam. And we have now heard of this book, the final book of Allah. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. It endorses, it confirms what has come before it. And it guides mankind to the truth and to the straight path. Oh, our people, أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ. Respond to the call of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring iman on him. Allah will forgive you your sins and Allah will save you from the painful punishment. Allah brought the jinn to hidayat. The people of Taif didn't accept. Allah is showing Allah is the giver of hidayah. This group of jinn accepted Islam and they went back home. And Quran is telling us how they didn't keep the deen to themselves, but they imparted it and they passed it on to others. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns to Makkah, my respected listeners. He continued his efforts and he continued going through the pains that they put him through. And he was hurt after Taif as well. Allah took him on the journey of Mi'raj that we just heard of from the ulama. And time went on. Then Sulh al-Hudaybiyah took place. In the occasion of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Urwa bin Mas'ud was not a Muslim. He was still a very senior of the Quraysh. That's why when the Quraysh didn't allow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entry into Makkah Mukarramah, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was waiting outside Makkah at a place called Hudaybiyah, waiting for their permission to allow him to enter, they sent few seniors to convince Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go back and not to enter, that we will not allow you to enter Makkah. This is now 6 years later, after Hijrah. 6 years after Hijrah. And Taif was in the 10th year after Nubuwah. So it's 9 years later now, Hudaybiyah. So now, among the people that they sent to convince Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go back to Medina was Urwa bin Mas'ud. Anyway, when Urwa bin Mas'ud came and he was speaking to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he was actually touching the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one man standing on guard next to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that none of the non-Muslims who comes there must try something funny with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, hurt him while unawares and so forth. So Mughira bin Shu'bah was on guard there. And when Urwa bin Mas'ud was playing with the beard of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mughira bin Shu'bah with the handle portion of his sword pushed away Urwa's hand. Urwa asked, "Who is that?" But he was covered, he was armed. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "This is your relative. Who is he?" "Mughira." And Urwa was very upset. "But you, my relative, my nephew, accepted Islam." And he was shocked at how he was Mughira bin Shu'bah accepted Islam just before Hudaybiyah. they were shocked on how Mughira bin Shu'bah is defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so greatly. So much of love and sacrifice for the deen. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. So this affected Urwa, that my nephew is respecting Allah's Nabi more than me. Urwa is Urwa bin Mas'ud bin Mu'attab bin Malik. And then Mughira bin Shu'bah bin Abi Amir bin Mas'ud. They both link at Mas'ud. And then Urwa goes back to the Meccans in Quraysh, the Quraysh in Makkah. They were waiting for his response. What negotiations he made with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, you know what? He's making an offer. He wants to come and make Umrah. Don't stop the man. You know, he is a good man. And Urwa was affected by the environment around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the leaders said that I have been one of the leaders who visited Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Hudaybiyah there. I have been to rulers, Najashi I have been to, I have been to Qaisar, Kisra, the Persian emperor, the Roman emperor. I have never seen any rulers, companions and servants love him, revere him, respect him like the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma ra'aytu ahadan yuhibbu ahadan ka hubbi ashabi Muhammadin Muhammada. Then time continued. It was the occasion of Fath Makkah. Makkah was now conquered. When Makkah was conquered, this was in the 8th year after Hijrah, Ramadan. After Makkah, then a famous battle took place called Humayn. And there the Muslims were attacked, and alhamdulillah, there was a wonderful comeback, and the Muslims won the battle at the end. And then from there, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had all the booties of Hunayn, Hawazin, but he didn't distribute the booties because he was hopeful that they accept Islam. Then we won't distribute their booties, we'll return it to them. But they didn't come. Allah's Nabi sent them to Ta'if. Ta'if, where he went, how many years ago? That is now 11 years ago. Now the year after Hijrah. So 11 years ago, Allah's Nabi went there for Gasht. Ta'if, not far from Mecca, 60 miles. And Ta'if was now sieged for almost 20 days. And the people of Ta'if are not surrendering. Ta'if didn't surrender. They were not giving in. So Allah's Nabi tried. They didn't surrender. Then he made an announcement. He made an announcement that, okay, if any of y'all come down, and he's a slave also, he will be free. So from there, 15 almost, approximately 15 slaves came down from the fort of Taif, because it was like impregnable. Everyone was in Taif. Even the people of Taqif, those who, the remnants of Taqif, took fortification in Taif. And Taif also means lofty wall surrounding the city. Among the people who came down was a man by the name of Nufay bin Harith. In hadith, he is known as Abu Bakr, the father of the real, Nufay radiallahu anhu. Because when he came down, he threw down a rope and he came down via a reel. So Allah welcomed him, and from that time he is known as Abu Bakr. That's why if you see a reporter of hadith, Abu Bakrata, with a tie at the end, that's the Sahabi, accepted Islam on the occasion of Taif. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is the giant, he is the senior. This is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His name is Nufay bin Harith. Nufay bin Harith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made mashura that let's return. They left Taif without it being conquered. At one point, look at mercy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making mashura, should we burn down their vineyards? That will definitely make them surrender. And then they said, please leave it for Allah's sake, and because we have some relation of family ties. He said, okay, I'll leave it for Allah's sake, and because of Rahim, family ties. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from there. They went back to Hunayn. Booty was distributed. At that time the people came, so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba to give them back. And then they returned to Madinah Munawwarah. Who comes to meet Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he enters Madinah? It was the leader of Taif. It was the leader of Taif, my respected listeners, who comes rushing, looking for the Nabi of Allah. Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he finally comes and he meets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he accepts Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the same leader. How much sacrifice Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made behind the people of Taif. How much of sacrifice he made. And now this leader, he is coming willingly, rushing to meet Allah's Nabi. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomes him in Medina. Who was he? None other than Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Urwa bin Mas'ud. He spent some time in Medina Munawwara. He accepted Islam. He was entrenched with the love of Iman and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was affected by the environment of Medina. He was so happy after learning some deen, spending some time. It wasn't long after that he had this pain in his heart. O Nabi of Allah, I have accepted, but allow me to go to my people, the people of Taif. They must also get hidayah. This is Sahaba. They didn't want to keep deen for themselves. They were not selfish. They were selfless, my respected. Allah's Nabi counsels him and says, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُوكَ أو عُرْوَى, I fear that these people will kill you. They'll hurt you. Oh my Nabi, these people love me so much. لَوْ وَجَدُونِي نَائِمًا مَا إِقَضُونِي, if they see me asleep also, they won't wake me up. They love me more than they love their virgin girls. They respect me so much. If I tell them the truth, they will listen to me. Let's take a listen from here, my respected listeners. He had a great honor amongst these people. Now he wants to use that honor for the hidayat of mankind. He wants to use that honor, that position, that status for the deen of Allah. Let us also take a lesson from here. If Allah has given us wealth, use the wealth for the deen of Allah, it becomes valuable. If Allah has given us honor, use that position, that status to impart Allah's deen, to share Allah's deen. That honor, Allah will increase it. And Allah will give much more in Akhirah. But because of our position, we mustn't feel shy to share the deen of Allah. And we mustn't camouflage our deen and try to act westernized. No, we are Muslims. We have a beautiful deen. Our deen is priority. Our Allah is first. We mustn't feel shy about this. Urwa bin Mas'ud, now he's saying, O Nabi of Allah, I want to go back. So much of love and respect they have for me. I am the leader there. And then he returns. He comes to Taif. The people of, he reaches at Isha time, at night. He goes home, and the whole Thaqif tribe come to greet him. Today our leader has come back from Taif. Now he was new to deen, so he was a little bit hard with them. So he's telling them, no, don't greet with the greeting of Jahiliyyah. Greet with the greeting of the people of Jannah, as-salam. So now he's telling him, now you know what? What is this new greeting you're telling us to do now? And so forth. Anyway, he waited for the right opportunity. He tried to explain to them. Some of them started, you know, getting upset and getting angry. It was the time of Fajr. He comes out and he renders the adhan loudly. It's a beautiful action. A great means of hidayat. He renders the adhan. And one report says he stands on his balcony and he invites them all to Allah. Some of them got upset. فَخَرَجَتْ إِلَيْهِ ثَقِيفٌ مِّن كُلِّ نَاحِيَةٍ. Thaqif came out from all different directions. And one man from the Banu Malik tribe called Aus bin Auf. Aus bin Auf, one report says his name was Wahab bin Jabir. And he shot Urwa bin Mas'ud. And the arrow struck his akhul, his medial arm vein, a crucial vein in the body, that if struck, the blood will not stop. He was struck there and it continued to bleed. And now he was taken onto his bed. And all the seniors there are worried, what's going to happen to Urwa? If he dies, we in trouble. So the other seniors, Ghilan bin Salama, Kinana bin Abdi Alil, Hakam bin Amr, and all the seniors now put on their weaponry, and they rallied by Urwa, and they said, we all going to die, or else we will take revenge for you. For ten people of the Banu Malik tribe. Urwa sees how they're getting hyped up. He says, wait, don't fight for me. My life and my blood, I donate it as charity for the one who killed me. I want unity to come amongst you people. I want hidayat to come to you people. Allah has honored me that I'm dying now in the cause of his deen. Allah has honored me that he is giving me martyrdom in his path. He says, my Nabi told me that these people would kill me. My Nabi told me this. And he called his family, he called his people, his close relatives. He says, when I die, bury me with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were made shaheed in this battle, because few months ago the Sahaba came on the siege of Taif and Sahaba were killed and they were buried outside there. Bury me next to them. And he passed away and they buried him. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that Urwa gave his life for Allah's deen while giving dawah to Allah, he was made shaheed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مثل عروة مثل صاحب ياسين مثل عروة مثل صاحب ياسين The parable of Urwa is like the man of Surah Yasin. The man who is mentioned in Surah Yasin, دَعَا قَوْمَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَقَتَلُوا. He called his people to Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and they killed him. Allah's Nabi said, مَثَلُ عُرُوَةَ مَثَلُ صَاحِبِ يَاسِين. The parable of Urwa is just like the man mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Yasin. Who is this man mentioned in the Quran, my respected listen? We read Surah Yasin every day. Let us ponder over this incident Allah is telling us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. The whole incident. Study this incident. Listen to the ulama explaining to this incident. Allah Ta'ala says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them the incident. Narrate to them the incident of the people of the town when my anbiya came to them. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. When the messengers of Allah came to them, Allah says, we sent two Nabis to them. Then we sent the third Nabi. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. The Anbiya are telling them about Allah, are calling them to Allah, inviting them to Allah. Allah has sent us to you to call you to Allah, to the road of salvation, success, prosperity, happiness in this world and the next. They started to threaten the Anbiya. What is this you are calling us to? You all are not. مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. You all are just humans like us. Allah has not revealed anything to you all. The Anbiya are saying, Allah knows, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. Allah knows most certainly well that we are most certainly sent to you by Allah. Now they denied the Anbiya alayhimu salam. When disobedience takes place, defiance takes place, bad conditions come, droughts prevailed, bad conditions prevailed, lack of water, difficulties, sicknesses. Now they come to the Anbiya and they complain, because of you all, these problems are happening to our town. Anbiya alayhimu salam are saying, this is not because of us. Ta'irukum ma'akum, my people, it is because of you all. You're denying Allah who's giving you all everything. Every breath comes from Allah. Every second of life comes from Allah. Every heartbeat comes from Allah. Paraphrasing. So they're blaming the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And they wanted to harm the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And Quran declares, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they came from the outskirts of the Medina. Medina means a city. Ajib part, first the Hussein town was referred to as Qarya. Now someone from the town is coming to help the Anbiya. The same town is referred to as Al-Madina. From there came, from the outskirts of the Medina, from the city, Rajulun, a man. A man means an ordinary man. Meaning, even if you don't know who he is, that's not important who he is. What he did was so important. Rajulun, a man. Ar-Rajulu, the man. Rajulun, a man. Mufassirin will tell you his name was Habib Najjar. Quran doesn't tell us his name. Meaning, showing importance to what he did. Rajulun. How he came? Yasa'a. He came rushing. He came rushing. One meaning of the word yasa'a also, he came rushing with concern. Qala ya qawm, O my people. Ittabi'u al-mursaleen. Follow the Anbiya alayhimu salam. Ittabi'u man la yas'alukum ajra. Follow them. They're not asking you for any remuneration, for anything in return. They want success for you. They're coming to you without wanting anything from you. Isn't this enough of a sign for you? وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They are on hidayat. They are on guidance of Allah. They're coming to you without any ulterior motive. Has elapsed. We will continue from this discussion. And then we'll continue with another sahabi from the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, my respected listeners, how sahaba made sacrifice. How Allah gave people hidayah. How Allah's Nabi cried for the ummah. Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. Let's read three quotes for Urwa bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this great da'i in Allah. Allah give us tawfiq to be like him and like the sahaba and all the sahaba radiallahu anhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahman.